out of sight.
All right, Ty, we're recording right now.
All right, man, we are back. We're back December. It's been a bit.
It has been a bit. In fact, and we can, I know we're going to get right into this too, but yeah, we pretty much skipped right over Halloween. There was a lot going on during Halloween, and you were in town, and I can't imagine you actually having other things to do whenever you come back home for a week, but we just could not fit it in the schedule.
Yeah, for real. That's too bad. It just didn't happen. We were hanging out too, but somehow it just didn't come together. I was too focused on Halloween.
Yep, and then the Halloween show just kind of floated past us like a ghost, if
it
you
did.
Will.
I like it. We did get a good October episode in, though.
Yeah, we definitely did. We recorded in October, which was awesome. And I was happy to see you, man. It's like we just had so much catching up to do that we just didn't even squeeze in the episode until I remember, like, you were... Probably, I think you're already off the plane back home. We're like, oh, shit.
Yeah, for real.
Come back.
Yeah, that was a bummer. Oh, well, man. We just had too much fun. That's the problem.
Too much fun.
We had too much fun to record it, to think about recording it.
But either way, it is beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
It really is, man, and I'm feeling the mood. I had some Charlie Brown Christmas going, and yeah, it struck me. I'm definitely ready for some Xmas.
I was pleasantly surprised whenever I came in and I dusted off the mic today in the studio. I saw that Rodrigo actually strung some lights up around. It's looking pretty festive here.
Oh, I see that. He came in early. And yeah, good job, Rodrigo. Every once in a while he does something that's kind of cool.
I remember there was a whole controversy about, like, whenever he wanted a key to the studio. And we're like, I don't know, do we give the guy a key? Do we not? I'm glad we did at this point.
I mean, I still don't think we should have, but... I'm waiting for you to give me a call and say that motherfucker stole everything, because I still don't trust him. But I mean, so far, I guess
I'm hoping he doesn't do that before. Like, if he does do that, I'm hoping it's like after Christmas, because that would just ruin Christmas.
It really would, right? That would ruin Christmas for sure.
And if one guy would ruin Christmas, it would be Rodrigo. So I don't know, man. I'm going to sit on pins and needles now. Thanks a lot, Ty.
It's true. He is sitting right there, though, so he can hear what you're saying, I think.
Of course he can hear what I'm saying, but he might be taking notes now.
I think he is.
Fucking guy.
You got to keep Rodrigo on his toes, though. We got to let him know that we know that he knows that we know.
Well, I don't know how we got on the topic of Rodrigo right away, but it's like, it's just getting me angry about, we got to get off it quick, man. Like, right at the beginning of the show, we start talking about him. It's just pissing me off.
No, it's not the way to start, especially a Christmas episode. This is about happy times, happy thoughts.
Yep. Well, here is, and actually, speaking of that, we tried to get Kenny in today, Kenny Minnie, mm-hmm. but he couldn't do it. So I would like to do like another Christmassy episode before the holidays over. Maybe have him sit in, because I don't know if you remember or not, but basically every Christmas episode has been centered around Kenny.
That's true. He, very first year, didn't he play his song? Was it Twinkle Twinkle Christmas? Is that what it is?
Twinkle Twinkle Christmas, yes. And even the year after that, I remember us all sitting, and then he played a impromptu Christmas song with you and I and Jim, and he just busted out the guitar.
That's right, he did. That's true. He is a fixture, a Christmas fixture for... For CSP, for sure. He's our little angel on the top of our tree.
So maybe he'll have another Christmas song for us this year. But first thing I want to get your take on, since we are back in studio, we're here, we're recording. Scott Weiland.
Yes. Fuck. That's a bummer. He's dead.
It's a bummer, man. And it's very rare that, like, since we've been recording, you know, every couple weeks, every skip a month here and there, by the time we get on, the news is already like stale.
That's true, man. And that just happened. I actually just saw it when I sat down to kind of set my shit up to record. I just went on the old internet and saw it. So I saw that about an hour and a half ago, and I've been listening to some Stone Temple Pilots since.
Well, that's cool because I've been listening to some Stone Temple Pilots too, and we can talk about some of our favorite songs and go from there. It definitely is a bummer, and just from what I was reading, I mean, there's not really too much info on it besides the fact that he was just found dead in his tour bus. They were in Minnesota, and he apparently died in his sleep. I'm guessing it's related to some type of toxicity or something.
Yeah, I think he'd been pretty notorious for battling addiction and shit, so... Yeah, and I know every time I've seen the guy since, like, 2005, he's seemed absurdly skinny, so...
I think that's pretty much what he's been known for, too, is just, like, yeah, like you said, abuse and addiction and all that kind of shit. So it's sad to hear. I got a little chuckle right away whenever I was searching for it, though. The Deadspin article that I see is, it just says, "Farewell, Elegant Bachelor." So it's kind of just like a passive aggressive, like, farewell, wow, sort of.
That's funny, yeah. All right. It is sad, man. I mean, so many of his songs are, like, etched. I never really thought about it, because Stone Temple Pilots have always been... I've always known they're an awesome band, and they had a lot of hits, but... Yeah, it wasn't really till I was just thinking about it that I was like, wow, they're, like, really etched into my brain as a fixture of my childhood. Just looking up, like, all of their hits, there's so many of them.
Yep. So many that you even forget about, that as soon as they start playing, you're just like, oh, shit, I remember this is a jam, dude.
Yeah.
They kind of fall into that vein with, like, at least for me, you know, you not even so much Pearl Jam, because you remember all their hits, but every once in a while you'll catch a song that comes on and then you'll be like, oh man, you know, I forgot about this song.
Yeah, I did too. Like, and that's kind of funny actually, because yesterday I was, every once in a while I got to dust off the old 90s hits and make like just a big MP3 disc or something, or a mix of 90s hits. And I was agonizing yesterday over like which Stone Temple Pilots songs to put in and which to leave out, you know, because you only have so much space or whatever. So it's kind of weird, actually.
Well, you have Vaseline.
Yeah, I love it, yeah.
And for me, my favorite is... of all time is an Interstate Love Song.
Yeah, that's a freaking great song. Yeah, Interstate Love Song is awesome. Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart. I think for me, it's either Tripping on a Hole in a Paper Heart or Vaseline are my favorites.
Yes. Okay, so this is kind of interesting, and it's not. I don't really want to go as far as saying this is like a that or this segment, just because it's sort of like a Jace-esque to that or this. Yeah. It's not really a full thing, but if we... Maybe I'll play like half of the intro to that or this and then just cut it off.
All right, we can do that.
Okay. If you had to pick an album, I'm going to give you two of their albums. And then, of course, you have their... I believe it's their first release, Core. And then Purple.
I'm going to probably go with Purple, man. I like Core, but Core is a little bit, I don't know, it's a little bit raw, a little more heavier, I guess, than... I feel like they kind of refined their sound and matured a little bit by their second album. So I'm going to go with number two. Those are the songs that I'm definitely more into off of number two.
And I agree completely. Even, you know, like, it seems like they sort of got a little more... experimental with some of their music, just by like Pretty Penny, you know. That's such an awesome song, dude.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely go Purple. Yeah. Although they had I never really listened to the full album, but from like 96, do you remember Lady Picture Show?
That's not one that I really had listened to a lot either.
Yeah, it was like their only... I was their single off of like from 96, and it was kind of after they had kind of faded and that kind of grunge era was fading away. But I remember that song, and that's still one of my favorites.
Now, that album also had the Tripping on a Hole, right? That was... I think that's the same album.
Oh, yeah, it did, yeah.
So I remember that song, but that was really one of the only ones I got into with that album. But
yeah.
I don't know, man. Either way, it's very sad.
Yeah, it's a bummer, man. It's fucking shitty. What, I don't know. I mean, I guess it's just speculation of how he died, but so shitty what that can do to you.
Yeah, and I'm not one to usually step over anybody's jokes or any punchlines like that, but if you could, just try to hold off on like any dead and bloated jokes at this point. I don't think that that's going to be in good taste. It's a little too soon for that, Ty.
Yeah, I think a little bit. Sorry, I had one too. I had one in the barrel. I was about to fire it off.
Dude, if you are in a rock band, never write a song about being dead or like being like dead and bloated or just like fucking gross, because at one point you are going to be dead and you're going to be found that way, and then you're going to just be an internet joke like right away.
For sure, immediately. There's going to be a million articles just riffing on that, just riffing on the title of that.
And that is not, yeah, definitely not a good string of words for a rock star to put together. You can, and I'm sure, like, whenever Layne Staley died, you know, in the newspapers and shit, it probably said, Layne Staley, man in the box.
That's good.
So, it's never a good thing, man.
No, it's bad news. Definitely bad news. But, yeah, too bad. Sad stuff. R.I.P.
Good night, sweet prince.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, speaking of music, I just saw Ariel Pink a couple weeks ago.
Oh, right. You were telling me about that coming up. So you finally got to the show. How did it go?
Yeah, it was a really good show, man. I didn't really know, like, what to expect exactly. I mean, and then ultimately just ended up being exactly what I expected, which is just, like, really loud, kind of rough quality, but still really good, like, psychedelic rock and roll. But yeah, it was a really good show. It's in this town called Heidelberg, which is like an hour away, and that has a bunch of art schools, and everyone there is studying like philosophy or art or gender studies or something. So the crowd that it brought out was pretty weird and pretty awesome. So yeah,
did they close with a recognizable song, or was it more of just like a melody that you didn't really know what it was, or?
I forgot what they closed with. They actually didn't even play that. I think they kind of ran out of time. They played everything, and then we were trying to get an encore, but there was something going on at the club right after. So, I think they would have come back and played it, but they didn't end up. But yeah, for the most part, they played mostly pretty, poppy stuff, like, poppy straightforward stuff rather than, obscure kind of abstract stuff. And then, of course, on the screen behind them was fucking weird. They had a screen behind them, and it was just, like, crazy fucked up images, which was nice.
You have to pretty much do that if you're into that genre of music. That's like, a prerequisite.
Yeah, dude, for sure. The people there were fucking so cool, though. We were outside in front of the club, and we just ran into... It was an old couple. They were like in their, he was like 50 or something. His wife had to have been the same age, and he was a documentary, like a filmmaker. And we just walked over on him, and then he shared his J with us, and we kind of smoked and chilled and talked about like music and jazz and shit. It was really cool. And then, what's up?
Oh, I was just going to say that's what's cool sort of with those kind of shows, because I feel like everybody that would go to an Ariel Pink show is sort of hungry to meet people that are in that same mindset.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then, exactly, it was really like that. Like, we were just standing outside, and somehow I got into a conversation with another guy about, like, Katy Perry and whether her music is, like, art and the fine line of art and commercialism and stuff. I had some really cool conversations there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and then after the show, he came out, and, yeah, it was chill. He just came out, and we were drinking and smoking and hanging out front of the club and talking and stuff.
You got to drink with Ariel Pink?
Yeah, dude, he just came out. Came out in his frilly, girly sweater, and, yeah, and we just drank and smoked, and we talked about, somehow we got on politics, and we started talking about, like, Israel and Palestine and what was going on in Syria. I mean, he's all jovial and stuff, though. He's a goofy dude. He's obviously a little bit strange, and but he was cool. He was chill.
Wow, man, that's awesome. That's an awesome story.
Yeah, yeah, it was cool.
I would be like intimidated to talk to him just because he seems like way cooler than me, and I would have no idea what to talk about.
Yeah, I might have been, except I was pretty drunk by that point. And also, he was pretty, I just realized he was a lot like me, which is just, like, socially awkward and, like, avoiding eye contact. He was still cool and talking and stuff. And also, he's actually shorter than me. He's a short fucker. He had to be, like, 5'5 or something. He's really short.
I could see that, actually. Now that you mentioned that, I could see him being super short.
Yeah, it was really unintimidating. But yeah, it was a good show. And then afterwards, we went, into downtown area where there's a bunch of bars and stuff. And I met this kid who's studying there, an American kid from Vermont. And his godfather is Jay Maskus from freaking Dinosaur Jr.
His godfather?
His godfather, dude.
So, now, was his, like, dad in any cool bands or anything, or...
Yeah, his dad was in a band, and I think they never quite hit it big. They started touring around. I'll have to try to figure out what the name of his dad's band was.
Was it the Groovy Ghoulies?
Might have been the Groovy Ghoulies.
Man. Yeah,
I can't remember what his dad's band was. Gobblehuff. Gobblehuff.
That was pretty close.
Yeah, close enough. Apparently, they were pretty... apparently, they kind of were starting to tour around and stuff, but they just never hit it big. But he used to hang out with Jay Maskus and tour with him, I guess, and back him up and stuff. And it looks like he actually played on some of his albums. I was looking up his dad's name, which is Kurt Fedora, and he's in credits on some of the Dinosaur Jr. albums.
Wow, man, that's awesome. And... that was his godfather. That's so strange that you bring that up, because I was just watching some Jay Maskus Dinosaur Jr. videos, like live performances and shit. I got in this whole crazy maze of alternative, you know, grungy type performances live on the air. I wanted to just watch live performances, and I got caught up with, I did watch Errol Pink, and I watched like Bonnie Prince Billy also performing.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get off topic, too, I saw this video of Stephen Merritt from the Magnetic Fields, and this is from a few years back. I guess NPR kind of had this program. I think it's called Song Project, and yeah, I'm not sure if you're familiar with any of these like web series or anything.
I don't think I'm familiar with that one.
Basically, NPR would bring in like a really awesome singer or songwriter or a mixture of the two, and give them like four pictures and then four words and try to get them to write a song about it.
Wow. Yeah.
And the one with Stephen Merritt, I think he had like this picture and then just like I think it was like 1974. That was the phrase or the year that they gave him.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up writing this awesome song. That's like not, it's obviously not on any of his albums, because he's not the type of person that would come up with a song on NPR and then be like, okay, that's on the next album.
Yeah.
But you need to watch this video. That song that he came up with in like 10 minutes is so awesome and just such a groove. And it was unbelievable.
All right. I'll have to check that out for sure.
Yeah.
I love live performances, man. I kind of was doing that the other night, but with like, I don't know why, I've been on a 90s kick lately, so I was looking up, like, I was feeling, like, heavier stuff from the 90s, so I was looking up old performances of Alice in Chains and Tool and even, like, fucking Korn and stuff and Stained. Yeah, live performances of the shit. Have you seen, guys, AV Club, they do a really cool series where it's like a cover series. And they have a list of songs that certain bands, it's mostly bands like kind of from today and some older stuff, like they had one with Gwar. But it's a list of songs of like old classic, usually like really commercial songs. So it'd be like Spice Girls and stuff like that. And the bands have to pick a song to cover in studio, and then they cover it. And then as each band picks the song, the song goes off the list, and the next band has a smaller list to pick from. So it's a really cool series, actually. Gore did a song. I think Mac DeMarco did the Sweater song, maybe, and it was really pretty good.
And it was on AV Club's website?
Yeah, AV Club.
I'll have to check that out. I've never seen that before. That sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cool.
And then I'm sure that they like put them on the spot too, and then they make them come up with some kind of reason. Why, like, why did you choose the Sweater song?
They do. Yeah.
And then you got to come up with some type of special memory or something. You can't just like the song. You have to like have a whole paragraph, you know, written out and discuss why you chose that Weezer song.
Yeah, for sure. Unless you're like Mac DeMarco or Gore, and you can just roar into the mic or just say some random strange sentence if you're Mac DeMarco.
I bet Mac's cover of the Sweater song is probably pretty awesome.
It was really good, and apparently, like, they said they learned it basically on the van ride, like, to the studio. And they didn't know all the words, so when he would, like, forget the words, he would just, like, babble and say random shit. But it was actually, like, I was really, really impressed.
I'm so...
They might be Giants covered Chumbawamba. Gore covered Kansas.
Seriously?
Yeah. Carry On My Wayward Son. It was pretty awesome.
Oh my god.
It's called Undercover series.
I'm gonna have to remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been envious of like somebody like Mac DeMarco. They have such a unique sound that they could just cover the Sweater song and it would sound completely original.
Yeah, for real. They absolutely did. Yeah, his sound is fucking unique. It's so unique they came up with a name for it. They came up with their own genre, Jizz Jazz.
Jizz Jazz.
It's called Jizz Jazz.
Can you imagine explaining to like your music teacher something whenever they ask you what some of your influences are? Or I mainly write music, you know, in sort of a shoegaze, jizz jazz type.
Jizz jazz, you know. Lo-fi jizz jazz. That kind of deal.
Oh, shit. That's
rough. Yeah, it's pretty cool. There's Iron and Wine is covering Gore. Yeah, Gore is back covering Cyndi Lauper. Yeah, it's a cool series.
Wow, I gotta check that out. All right, well, Ty, let's see. We are actually getting kind of close to the end of the segment, but since this has been such a music related segment, I was just thinking of this while we were talking earlier, and now I'm kind of like racking my brain. If you had to pick one song, okay, you know what? Actually, before we end this is going to be the that or this that we were teasing before. And this seems like a pretty legitimate that or this.
All right, I'm into it.
All right. Pick one of the two here. Creep or Creep? See what I'm saying?
Yeah, I feel you.
On one hand, you have Stone Temple Pilots.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you have Radiohead.
Yeah.
Which one even came out first?
I don't know. When did Radiohead, their album came out like 93? It might have been like the same fucking year, dude.
We got to get Rodrigo on this to look up which one came first.
Yeah, we might have to. I want to say that one was 93. I'm fairly certain Pablo Honey was 93. And I feel like Stone Temple Pilots might have been also.
For Stone Temple Pilots, that one came out on Core, and it was released in 1992.
Ah, okay.
But I am seeing through the Wikipedia page for Radiohead's version of Creep that song was written in 1992.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a pretty close call, man.
Yeah, it's a really close call. Oh, that's tough, dude.
I mean, immediately my brain obviously goes to, in my mind, there's no other song called Creep, you know, than the one by Radiohead.
Yeah, yeah.
But Stone Temple Pilots' Creep, that was a very awesome song, too. That's for anyone out there that whose Stone Temple Pilots songs kind of like mix up into one giant fucking blob in their head, sort of like me sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Creep is the take time with a wounded hell because it likes to heal.
That is a fucking good song. And it's got like a really bluesy kind of guitar going on during the verse, and then it like erupts into like full on grunge into the. Damn, you know what, man? That might be the better song.
Look at you going with the underdog in this one.
I know, and me being such a fucking Radiohead dick sucker.
Wow, well, that's good. I'm actually glad that you went towards that because I thought that it was just going to be we were going to beat up on Stone Temple Pilots.
Did you? Friends. Yeah.
Because
I mean, I got to say, "Creep" by Radiohead is never. I've always liked it, but it might just be because it's like once again etched into my brain from childhood, and I'm not sure if it's really that it's the better song. Whereas the Stone Temple Pilots one is a bit more dynamic, has more going on.
It does. I agree with you. It does seem like the words are deeper, and I guess I know that that song was written like whenever I was before I was even in kindergarten. But mm-hmm. I feel like. The Radiohead version of Creep kind of has that whole feel where whatever year you were in high school, that could still become like your high school song.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be cover bands that you're at a party and they're going to be covering that song.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Like the message in it is so strong that every single kid, you know, especially dude, adolescent dude is going to relate to it and be like, that's my shit, dude. They're talking about me.
Yeah. And fucking, like, I remember just, you know, drinking beers and listening to one of my friend's cover bands playing it, and I'm just like, yeah, man, I want to have control, and I want a perfect body. Fuck you!
Yeah, it is. Man, I mean, that's a good album for Radiohead, but it was before they really hit their stride, before they figured out what they were doing.
Yeah, definitely. You said that was Pablo Honey, right?
Yeah, Pablo Honey.
Yeah, they kind of didn't know where they were going, really.
No, no, no. It took them, I don't think, till OK Computer where they figured it out, which was like 97. So, I'll give it up to Stone Temple Pilots. They had the better song on that one.
And you're probably right about the better song, but just from a standpoint of remembering my high school days and fucking like. Yeah. Friends coming up to me like during that song and hey man, you want to go get some food after school? Hey man, leave me alone.
What are you trying to say, dude?
I don't care if it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, saying all that the Stone Temple Pilots song is better, even then, like if I'm playing Rock Band and it's between Radiohead Creep and Stone Temple Pilots Creep, I'm doing Radiohead Creep and I'm wailing and I'm channeling my sophomore year of high school.
It's more like an anthem.
It really is. It is an anthem for sure.
All right, so we both have the different version of Creeps there. I just thought it was weird that they were both named Creep and they were just so close in time, and really it's hard to tell which one came first whenever you get right down to it.
Yeah, it is, and I always forget that that one is even called Creep by Stone Temple Pilots.
Well, there it is, another that or this. And with that, Ty, let's get to this. We're gonna end the first segment. So
okay.
I was just grasping for a segue there.
That's close. You'll get it next time, maybe.
I might get it next time. Who knows? All right, take a quick break, and we'll be right back on CSP.
It's a fine day, people open windows, they leave their houses just for a short while. They walk by the grass and they look at the grass, they look at the sky. It's going to be a fine night tonight. It's going to be a fine day tomorrow.
Kleenex tissue desu.
All right, Ty, we're back with segment two on CSP.
Hey, segment two, the bastard brother of segments.
Yep, exactly. It does kind of always get that rap, you know. It's, I don't know, I like segment two.
I do like segment two. I feel like it's when we get into the groove of the podcast, for sure.
It's the real, real meat and vegetables of the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
And since we jumped right into talking about Scott Weiland, we missed out on normally, like, hey, what have you been watching, Ty? That's usually how the show starts off.
Yeah, it's true, man. All right. Let's see. What have I been watching? I haven't really been watching too much TV lately. I don't know. You been watching any TV?
TV, I have been watching. We've been getting into Orange is the New Black.
Yeah, that's one that I feel like a shithead for not, and like the kid that's behind in class because he hasn't been doing his homework. That's how I feel about Orange is the New Black.
I was really kind of just not necessarily against watching it, but I never wanted to pick it up or give it a shot. And frankly, anytime I would scroll through Netflix and I would see that front and center with her stupid face, always like that cover with her smiling, I would just kind of get angry about it. Like, fuck this show.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. I feel like, I don't know if you have it, but I have that contrarian thing where you're like, everyone's going crazy about something. You're like, maybe I could just not get into that.
By nature, yeah, I do have that.
Yeah, for sure.
It's no fun, man.
It's not fun. I missed out on some cool shit. Sufjan Stevens is really fucking good, Rocky. I found that out about 10 years late.
That's funny, man. You know, I got to tell you about this tweet that I read.
Okay. Yeah.
And it's related to Sufjan Stevens.
All right, let's hear it.
And let me get it pulled up just so I don't mess it up at all. But it's by the person that does the YouTube series Gale.
Oh, fuck yeah, I love Gale.
Yeah, Gale Waters.
Yeah, I fucking love Gale. Yeah, for sure.
So there is a Twitter page that is apparently Gale Waters. And I want to get this tweet pulled up here. And for anybody that hasn't checked out the Gale web series, it's pretty hilarious.
It's fucking wonderful. It's basically this dude who he's like this scrawny white dude with like shoulder length brown hair, and he just his character Gale is like a middle class like housewife essentially from the suburbs, except she's insane. It's really fucking great.
I got to tell you, I was trying to type in Gale Waters on Twitter.
Yeah.
And I accidentally typed in Gay Waters. And the first thing that came up is a big picture of John Waters saying, Divine was criminal at Christmas.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it. John Waters.
Okay. Gale Waters Twitter is at Gale, GAYLEWW.
Mm-hmm.
And the first tweet that's on here, it just says, it's a discussion between Sufjan and Bon Iver. And it's Sufjan saying, hey, Bone. And then Bon Iver crying, you scared me. And then Sufjan also crying, you just scared me. And then they both fall back asleep in their nest.
Oh, that's so good.
So, yeah, that's my favorite tweet of all time I've read.
I love that. Wow, that's perfect. That's so good. Yeah, that's perfect. That's cool. Gale is fucking hilarious, man. Have you seen the Yanni episode?
No.
You know Yanni, the musician? She's, like, apparently obsessed with Yanni, and she goes to a Yanni concert, and they actually go to a Yanni concert, like in some kind of amphitheater. And they actually have, Gail is like dancing like way back in the nosebleeds. She's standing up and like dancing and making weird noises and gyrating and stuff. Like she's like orgasming to Yanni. It's so fucking, people are looking at her like she's crazy.
That sounds
it's
awesome. So,
it's my favorite. She goes to an actual Yanni concert and goes crazy.
I've been getting into the episodes where he's just like himself, like, it's Chris. His name's Chris Fleming on YouTube. That's his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And he has some where he just sits in a car and he basically trashes all kinds of pop culture shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And my favorite one, Ty, if you haven't watched it, you definitely need to. It's called Adventure Dad.
Yeah. I haven't watched that one. Mm-hmm.
Where he just, he mocks the Adventure Dads basically that like are constantly taking their kids to do extreme sports, and mm-hmm. they all have really extreme adventure names like, hey, Gavin, hey, Colby, hey, Gav,
Colton, Logan.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is so hilarious, man. And he's like, an adventure dad smile whenever he knows that he's given birth to like three snowboarding kids is so passive aggressive.
Yeah.
You got to definitely check that shit out. It's hilarious.
All right. Well, I'm super behind on that series altogether, Gail. But yeah, everybody watch it for sure.
So anyways, how we got on Gail. Oh, yeah. Because you were talking about Sufjan Stevens and Orange is the New Black. So, yeah, I was behind on that. And I don't know. We got done with The Sopranos, and we missed watching The Sopranos so much that literally after we watched the final episode, we mm-hmm. kind of went back and we're like, hey, maybe we could get more out of like this episode. And we started watching episodes we already watched because I didn't want to let it go, man.
You fucking addicts. Yeah.
I wanted it. I still wanted it. I wanted more.
Yeah. How was the final episode? Were you angry or okay with it?
I was angry about it. And I knew that something was coming, like something that to be angry about, because I had heard for years that that was like the worst finale ever. But it was kind of interesting to get my take on it after watching the entire series. And it mm-hmm. sucked, man.
Really? That's a bummer.
And the shitty thing was, I know what the showrunner was doing, like I know what he was going for, and it does make sense sort of the way that the whole thing ended, but it was so just, I don't know, it just was not gratifying at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't a good way to end, so
nah.
I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
Bummer.
Yeah. Did you ever watch Better Call Saul yet?
No, have not watched that yet.
Still need to watch it, dude.
I know. I still have that. I have that on the list, and we've talked about watching that too, just because you said it, and also it does kind of, it's got that sort of Breaking Bad feel. I know I've seen like clips of it and shit.
Yeah, man. It does for sure. I mean, but it's also its own story. Like I got super into his story, and it was really cool to get some of the background on him. So yeah, episode one, I was 100% hooked all the way through.
Okay.
And it was good. Yeah.
You know, that's probably going to be something that we can jump into here, because we're on the last season right now of Orange, at least until they put out some new ones.
Ooh. Yeah.
But it's a good show. I mean, once you start on it, get through the first season, you know, it doesn't really make you as hungry as like Breaking Bad did or like The Sopranos even did for me, but it is a good story, and it's a good watch.
All right, fine. I'll fucking watch it. Jesus. I've been neglecting so long, and every time I go on Netflix, I'm like, I should. I just should watch it. Because I only hear good things about it, but...
Yeah, you gotta join the party.
All right. Oh, well, yeah.
And like I said, that actress that was in it, like, just her face started... Like, she's hot, but her face started just making me mad. Just seeing all that stupid covers on
yeah, she does have like a smirk, doesn't she?
Yes, and she does kind of throughout the show, but you do sort of become fond of her. So
okay, all right. Yeah, any other shows you've been watching?
No shows, but I have also been looking into possibly checking out the new Amazon series, The Man in the High Castle. You heard of this?
I've heard of it. I don't remember what it was about, though. What is it?
Well, I know that it, from reading, it's based on a Philip K. Dick novel.
Yeah.
But, and I could be a little bit wrong here, but I think the gist of it is that it takes place in like a different world, like after World War II, if the Nazis won. And now it's in 1960s New York, being run by Nazis.
Yeah, that looks like exactly what it is. And I'm going to watch that like ASAP. That sounds really cool.
I think that's really all the information that you need to know that it's pretty badass.
I'm good. I'm into it. There's a picture. The cover is the Statue of Liberty with a Nazi, like the eagle on her, like a shroud on her.
Like with the what is it, the Iron Cross or whatever they would wear, just Nazi paraphernalia.
Yeah, I think it's just like the eagle. I don't know what that thing's called. The spread eagle.
We'll go with spread eagle.
Spread eagle. That's what we'll do. The Statue of Liberty, just spread eagle.
That is so hot.
She looks dirty.
Oh my God. Nothing says freedom like the Statue of Liberty spread eagle on a big pot leaf.
Why'd they pick such a manly face for the Statue of Liberty?
I think that's because back in those days, when did we receive the Statue of Liberty from France? Wasn't that like in the 1700s or?
I think it was late 1800s.
Well, back then, all the women looked manly.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what I think. I just don't think that they knew how to make women look attractive, because the only thing that was attractive about women back then was the fact that they weren't men.
That's true, dude. Pretty much every picture of ladies back from that day kind of look a little rough. I saw a picture of like a ladies' gun club the other day from like Harvard or something from 1905, and they were pretty rough. There's some rough looking broads.
Oh, gun club! I think a gun club nowadays with chicks. Well, maybe not. Maybe just because of the conceal and carry and all that shit. There are some hot chicks walking around with guns.
For sure.
But even like Mona Lisa, look at her, dude.
Yeah, it's true. She's supposed to be beautiful. She's cute, but
yeah, she's kind of cute. I mean, all the chicks back then were like flabby, and they kind of had like semi mustaches, sort of. And that was what it was. And they were hot because they weren't a guy.
Because they weren't dudes. Yeah. That's true. Very true.
You get in where you fit in this world, Ty. That's what I've learned.
That's true. It's a good principle.
That's the principle I live by. A wise man told me that one time. And you can really apply it to any situation.
You really can. It's like it's absolute catch-all for all situations, for sure.
Yeah, man. Like the recent Black Friday deals, you know, I was walking through a Best Buy and they were out of this special external hard drive, and the guy was like, "What the fuck, man? I got here too late. They're all out of external hard drives." And I just said, "Hey, you get in where you fit in, bud."
And then he kind of looked up in the air for a second. Then he was like, "Nah." And then he shrugged. He was like, "Yeah."
It diffuses the situation.
I'm gonna start using it.
And then you do feel like satisfied after you say it too. You just look up in the air with a little bit of a smug grin, and then you can just walk away too. And the situation's done, man.
Just walk away whistling with your yeah. I like that. Let's see. I just watched on the flight, actually, to or from the States. I watched the David Foster Wallace movie, The End of End of the Tour.
Haven't heard of it.
Yeah, David Foster Wallace, he wrote Infinite Jest. He's an author, which is like, I actually have not read it, to be honest, but it was a massive book. I forgot how many pages, like 12 or 1300 pages. But it was apparently like the voice of sort of, I don't know, the apathetic kind of culture, of youth culture that was happening in the late 90s and early 2000s, I guess Generation X, maybe, I don't know. But it was a huge deal that when that book came out, and he was like the voice of a new generation. And the movie is, he ends up in real life, he killed himself. I don't know, probably like 10 years ago or something. But the book is about his last, or one of his book tours that he was doing for Infinite Jest. And Jason Segel, you know Jason Segel? Yeah, he plays David Foster Wallace, and Jesse Eisenberg plays the journalist that interviewed him. And it's just about them kind of hanging out and driving around while they're on the book tour and talking and stuff.
I like Jason Segel as an actor. He really needs to just change his name to Jason Sarah Marshall, though, I feel like.
He really does.
Because everybody's like, oh, forgetting Sarah Marshall. Yeah, that guy.
I was going, if you would have been like, no, who's that? I would have been like, you know, forgetting Sarah Marshall. And you'd have been like, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I think that would be beneficial to his career.
It really would. So, yeah, that was actually a really good movie.
That sounds pretty interesting, man. There haven't really been a lot of new movies that I've watched, but there have been a lot on the list that I want to watch, which is more than I can say for, you know, the last few months, really, in general. There hasn't really been shit playing, really, I felt like, at the theater.
But yeah.
One of the movies I want to check out is Chirac.
Yeah, I've never even heard of that. What is that?
Well, it's a new Spike Lee movie. And I guess basically, long story short, is it's based, it has all the principles of like this ancient Greek play. The play is called, I've never heard of it, but it's called Lysistrata.
Is it Lysistrata?
Yeah, that might be right too.
Okay.
I'm just reading off of IMDb with that, but basically it is it's set in modern day Chicago with all of the gang violence that's been going on, and it is the premise of a bunch of the girls that are living there decide that they're going to tell all the guys that if they don't stop with the gun violence, they're not going to get laid anymore.
Whoa, okay.
And that's where it gets from this ancient Greek play. I think it was like from like the 1400s or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the story for them, and then they set it in modern-day Chicago. And it has Nick Cannon in it, and Wesley Snipes is in it.
Oh, okay, cool.
And Sam Jackson is in it, and like John Cusack also. So it has that element to it, and then it also has like John Cusack. I think he plays a racist preacher, which seems kind of interesting because it takes place in Chicago, and, you know, it's, I don't know, it seems like a pretty interesting movie and take on things, and I like Spike Lee generally as a director, so.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good, man.
All right, I might have to check that out. Yeah, I don't know, like, Spike Lee, I don't know if he's really made a good movie in a really long time, though.
It has been a while for him, and I mean, what is your last good movie that you would say that has been a Spike Lee joint?
His last good movie for me was Inside Man. Did you ever see that? It was a bank heist movie, and it was who's in that? Denzel Washington, Clive Owen, Jodie Foster. It's a fucking good movie, dude. It's just a really good mystery. Like, this bank heist happens. And they know who did it, but they cannot figure out how he did it at all. So the whole movie is about like them trying to solve the mystery of how it happened. And the way it's just like kind of an ingenious movie, actually. It's a solid movie. That's 2006.
Well, so that's pretty recent then, I guess.
Not too bad. And after that, he just had like a string of movies that were just kind of mediocre, I felt like. But
I think my last good movie that by him was probably Summer of Sam.
Yeah.
Which I really liked that movie. And I remember even watching He Got Game.
Yeah, He Got Game was good.
And then, of course, Malcolm X. But Spike Lee is like, he's probably the most renowned director that really hasn't directed that many good movies.
Yeah.
I feel like he has a couple good ones, but he's no Tarantino, like just bumping out the hits.
Yeah, no, he's not the hits, but his good ones are really good. Like, did you ever see 25th Hour with Edward Norton? That's a good movie. It's like Edward Norton plays this dude who's a New York City drug dealer, and he gets busted by the DEA, and he's about to go in for a 7-year jail term. And he just has like 24 hours of basically being free before he has to go in. So him wandering around and kind of making amends and seeing people and stuff. It's a really fucking good movie.
Wow, I've never seen that one either. Yeah, there are a lot of them I haven't seen, but you're right. Whenever he gets all the elements that are working for him, he is an amazing director.
Yeah, for sure. He's kind of a crazy person and a bit of a dick, but yeah, he can make a good movie.
So that's one I am wanting to check out, and then the other one that I have on my list is Trumbo.
Yeah, I want to see that too. That looks tight.
And yeah, I mean, I've watched like documentaries and I've followed the career of Dalton Trumbo, so I was into it even before I saw that Bryan Cranston was playing the lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love Bryan Cranston just like everyone else in the world.
Sure, fucking, of course. I actually really don't even know much about Trumbo.
Well, basically he was a writer, like a screenwriter, and he was in the 40s, he was, and I'm just going off of memory what I remember, but he was a really renowned screenwriter. Everybody wanted to work with him until he got blacklisted for possibly being a communist, which there really hasn't been any word. I mean, it's all kind of hearsay, but Trumbo has really said that, you know, he was never a communist. It was just a mistake. But either way, once he got blacklisted, he could not get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept writing. He would write under assumed names, and he still wrote like some great shit under assumed names, but he didn't get any credit for it. He just kept writing because he loved doing it.
That's tight. Yeah, that's cool. I see. Yeah, I forgot. Louis C.K. is in it too.
Louis C.K. is in it. Yeah.
Tight.
So that looks like a good watch, man. I'm gonna have to check that one out.
Yeah, I'll check that out. I mean, like I said, I don't know much about it, but all I need to know is, you know, Bryan Cranston.
That's all you need to know.
And it looks good, so yeah. I saw a couple movies recently. One I saw was called Bone Tomahawk, and it's a Western, kind of like a Western horror thriller. And
you didn't find it under your dad's bed, or I kind of thought that's where you were going. I found this awesome movie under my dad's bed, Bone Tomahawk.
Bone Tomahawk.
And the cover has this Native American and the Statue of Liberty spread eagle, and it's just fucking going at it, dude.
No, it was between the mattresses, not under the bed, technically. So, but yeah, it was good, man. It was Kurt Russell. A few other people in there you recognize, but it's about there's like this tribe, like this really remote tribe of kind of like Native Americans, but not just like Indians, but like fucking a savage tribe out there who like cannibalizes, and they kidnap a couple of the people from town, and Kurt Russell and a small little posse goes to find them. It has a really fucking good movie, like a really good Western, and on top of that, like a pretty brutal movie. Also, pretty graphic and pretty gory. Kind of a horror thriller type thing going on. It was good.
I'm looking that up right now. Yeah, Kurt Russell's been doing some interesting shit lately. He's still
good. He really has, man. Yeah. And I've got it like a soft spot for Westerns, man. I think I freaking love Westerns.
Really? I never knew that about you.
I do, man. It's just, I don't know what it is about Westerns. There's just, I don't know, something about it.
I can dig that. You're really going to like The Hateful Eight, then. I'm sure you've seen trailers for that.
Yeah, I'm all about that. I'm so excited for that. That's, yeah, Kurt Russell's in that, too.
That's got your Kurt Russell. That's got your, I know you love some Sam Jackson.
Yeah, of course.
It's your fill of Tarantino, and you're also going to get your Western aspect there, man. So you're going to be in heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't know what it is about Westerns. I just like them.
I'm always kind of interested with the way people live their lives back then.
Yeah. I think Westerns, especially lately, for some reason have, I don't know, the themes in the movies, which are just like really perfect for the themes of the American West, which are like trying to make it on your own and trying to make it in an inhospitable environment and trying to make it into in a savage environment where there's basically no law. Like, I think it makes for some really good movies. And a lot of the movies that come out that are Westerns end up being really, really good, like, artistic movies with a lot of character development.
And they make me feel like just such a pussy, you know, because just getting through everyday life was so difficult back then. Like, it was a luxury to have a bed, like and not even a bed, but just like a pad to lay on, you know?
Yeah, yeah. For sure, yeah. So, yeah, would recommend, especially if, like, for the horror aspect, just on that alone is good.
Well, I'll have to check that out too. So I got a list of stuff here, man.
Yeah, I also saw Creed, the new Rocky movie.
I want to see that one too. How was that?
It's really good. Like, it was absolutely really, really, really good. And it's really super, like, conventional and that kind of, like, sports movie where you're like, where you almost feel like a tool for applauding, where you're just like, yeah, I hope he wins. You just feel like a complete, just commercialized zombie. Even then, it was still really good.
It looks awesome, and I've never been... I think I've watched the first one, but with that being my name and hearing that my whole life, I just, like, I don't even really give a shit to watch the movies.
Yeah.
God forbid I become a fan of the series. I can't have that happen, but...
For real. I mean, I don't think there's much chance of that happening, though, because the first movie was great. First movie is actually really, really good. And the story behind it is really cool. It's just like a super independent film. And Sylvester Stallone, like, the studios loved the script, but they wanted somebody else to play Rocky. And he was just like, was not having it. He's like, no, this is me. I have to play this. And he basically made the movie for way less money than they wanted to give him because he wanted to be Rocky. And so... And it's actually a really good movie.
It is a great movie. But do you want me? Yeah. You want me to give you something that if you watch this, you'll probably start to slowly hate Sylvester Stallone and hate the movie Rocky.
Yeah, go ahead. Let me hear it.
You need to watch I believe it's a ESPN 30 for 30 on Chuck Wepner.
Chuck Wepner.
Chuck Wepner. He was a boxer.
Okay.
And. They called him, his nickname was the Bayonne Bleeder because he would just he would always get busted open in all of his fights. But he actually sued the studios because Sylvester Stallone stole his story and wrote. Really? And I don't know all of the details. I mean, whenever you watch the documentary, it'll explain it a lot better than I can. But he took so many intricate details of Chuck Wepner's life and put them in on paper and then got writing credit for it and refused to give Chuck Wepner a dime from the whole franchise.
Really?
And he had like a relationship with Sylvester Stallone, and it made him start to hate Sylvester Stallone because he got the feeling that Sylvester Stallone just wanted to get ideas from his life just to put them towards this movie. And then he stopped talking to him.
Whoa, that's nuts.
So yeah, man, that's a must watch too.
Okay. All right. I'll have to check that out.
But I do want to see Creed, although in the trailer, it looks like Sylvester Stallone kind of looks like a burn victim. I guess they give him that look just because he got beat up all those years.
Yeah, he looks pretty rough. They do a really good job in making him look like a old, just rough dude who's been fighting his whole life. And actually, he was really good in it. Like, his acting was pretty killer. He had a few moments where, like, he starts to choke up a little bit in the... And it kind of like, you're like, oh shit, this guy can actually act.
Well, we should be happy that there are so many fucking awesome movies to check out.
There are. I mean, it kind of seems like there aren't, but I mean, I guess there always are. There's always shit going on. But as far as like real commercial big hits and shit, this year's been pretty shitty.
And then we can just sit and wait for Krampus. That's all we can do, Ty.
Krampus, that's all I'm waiting for, really.
You know what? Okay. I got some. We are like, we're at our break here. We're going a little bit over. So what I want to do is take a quick break. Whenever we come back, I got a quick Krampus related tidbit to give you.
All right.
And then we can get off the movie topics. I didn't think that this was going to take us completely through the second segment, but it's a lot to get caught up on.
Yeah, it really did, didn't it? Yeah, blew through that second segment. That's probably our best second segment in a while, buddy.
I think you're right. I can't remember a time whenever we like just had so much fucking material that we just flew through the second segment and we couldn't even get everything in.
That's right. It's one for the ages, folks.
So we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with this Krampus story, and then we will get into the much beloved third segment on CSP.
We all love the honeycomb. We all love the taste.
Yo, the taste is in the shape. Lips smacking honey. The taste is really on, and it looks kind of funny.
The taste is in the shape. The taste is in the shape of honey. We all love the taste.
The crunch is in the shape. Pumping funky honey. The crunch is really great. The crunch is on the money.
All right, Ty, how was your segment 2.0 break?
It was delightful. I got a refill. I got a massage, just deep tissue massage, just to loosen up a little bit.
You had time to squeeze in a massage?
Yeah, just a real quick one, you know.
Wow, man. Now, wait a minute. I know that together we have this pool of money that we keep for CSP Enterprises, and I know that you were in the process of setting up your CSP Euro studio over there, I guess, to maybe make you feel more at home.
Yeah, definitely.
Was this in the budget, like for a massage to a masseuse to just kind of hang out with you?
I mean, I've worked it into the budget. Like, it's not a big deal. I just used, like, not even, like, a half, maybe, like, not even, like, three quarters, not even, like, most of it, the budget to do it. Probably, like, half of the budget.
What?
But, I mean, it's important, though. Like, if I don't feel loose, if I don't feel, you know, well needed, like, dough, yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, that makes sense, but I'm kind of like just scrambling over here to even be able to, you know, like make sure I have the right soda that I like. And I can't imagine that being, is this the actual budget, or is this the budget that like you've embezzled from and then you're taking half of that?
It's, I mean, we're mincing words now. I mean, if I have a hot tub, I need like a masseuse also. For like before and after the hot tub, so.
And so the hot tub came out of the budget too.
Well, yeah. I mean, of course, yeah. Isn't a portion of the budget supposed to be for comfort, for making us comfortable, for producing the best show possible?
Well, I like the way that sounds.
Yeah,
that sounds great, man. Well,
so you're with me. You agree. All right.
Oh shit. I guess you got, well, fuck, man. Yeah. Well, I guess you make a good point. I mean, I want you to be the best Ty that you can be. All right.
Well, there you go. If I'm going to be the best Ty I can be, I need a hot tub. I need just a deep tissue massage.
Well, all right. Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, you make a good point. And, well,
and I need somebody on hand with colonoscopy equipment so I can cleanse.
Cleansing, too.
Cleansing, too.
See, I get all of these things just out of my bathtub, like my hot tub, sort of massaging, sort of, which I just I just rub my feet in the tub. And I also use that for cleansing.
That's pretty good and kind of gross a little bit. Cleansing part. Might have to look into that.
Well, jumping off of that topic, so we have a couple of things that are going to sort of come over from the second segment. First thing I wanted to let you know, do you know that we were talking about Chirac with Nick Cannon? Do you know that Nick Cannon is like reinvigorating Radio Shack? Like he's bringing back Radio Shack?
What?
Yeah.
What? How's he doing that?
Well, apparently he got hired by Radio Shack to be the chief creative officer.
Yeah.
And now he's all like pro Radio Shack. Like he's putting out like all the shit that, you know, Radio Shack's coming back and we're going to do this thing for real this time. And one of the headlines I read on CNET is Radio Shack hires Nick Cannon to lead its renaissance.
Jesus, I see that right now. What the fuck is going on in America?
It's one of those things where I bet he didn't really feel that strongly about Radio Shack. Like if somebody were to ask me, how do you feel about Radio Shack? Well, it's stupid. I hate it. You know, it's ridiculous. Okay, well, here's $500,000. Now, how do you feel about it? Dude, Radio Shack, I have so many stories from my childhood.
If you ever need batteries for your remote control RC car, go there.
So I guess there's not really too much on the horizon as far as plan set, but it's something to be looking forward to. I guess Radio Shack may be coming back.
Wow. You know what I would do if I got hired as such? I would destroy Radio Shack from the inside. It would be like putting a bullet in Radio Shack's head to put it out of its misery.
Oh my God. That's brilliant.
Because why the fuck is Radio Shack still around? It's one of those stores, one of those businesses that you're like, dude, just fucking die. Just die.
There's no real reason. Yeah, there's no reason to go to Radio Shack.
There's no reason. There hasn't been for like 10 years, right? Best Buys are like getting obsolete. So why the fuck is Radio Shack still around?
That's very true. You know, we lost our Radio Shack that was right down the street from the studio. That's gone now.
Did we really? Yeah. I don't understand it. It's like Kmart. You're like, dude, just go. Just go quietly.
That you're making a strong point, man. Radio.
It's like watching a loved one just hang on, and you're just like, man, just let go.
It's time to just give it up.
Just float away.
So Nick Cannon's probably he might be doing just the right thing and pulling the plug on it from the inside.
Maybe that's what I would do.
Well, that's something to look into just to see what's going on. Maybe if that happens with Radio Shack, we'll keep you posted here on CSP. But you heard it first.
Radio Shack. I feel like only stupid people go to Radio Shack. Like only dumb people who don't realize that they're just going to get ripped off in this place.
And the only memories I have of going to Radio Shack is like the people that work there kind of making me feel stupid because like I don't really know how Radio Shack works because I feel like every time I would go there, they would never have the thing I needed. And they're like, no, that's kind of not what Radio Shack's here for, guy.
And I'm like, what the fuck are you here for? It's the tiniest little store, and it's filled with just wires and cords of shit that nobody needs, really. That's where you go if you're just like, I just need, like, this wire. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it's called. I don't know what it does. Do you have a plug-in that fits this and this, please? And then they're like, no.
I know. That's what I went there for was... Because I was confused about what I needed, but it was a type of plug. It was like a quarter inch to like a fucking eighth inch or something. I don't know what it was exactly, but
yeah.
I figured Radio Shack would be the one place that maybe they could put the pieces together for me. And that's where you go whenever you're confused and you need somebody to tell you no, go somewhere else.
For real. I don't think I've ever come out of a Radio Shack like satisfied. You come out like a little bit more confused. And every time I come out of a Radio Shack, I'm like, what the fuck is this place for? Like, I just kind of want to light a match and throw it behind me and walk away. That's my experience with Radio Shack.
That's so true. And I would never even, I wasn't even thinking about that until we started talking about it. But yeah, that's what Radio Shack is. That's what it always will be to me.
Really? And fucking RC cars for some reason, lots of RC cars. And I'm like, who's buying RC cars here? And why has Radio Shack become like the official spot of nerdy dudes who like RC cars?
I know they need to, I mean, not only has the brand itself been so tarnished over the years of just being a shitty store in general, but even the name Radio Shack, like nobody even buys radios anymore. Like that's gotta go, man.
The name is fucked, right?
Yes. Who I mean,
I didn't even think about that.
That's like having a store, you know, and you're going to bring it into 2016, but it's called like a Pager Paradise.
Yeah. Yeah, for real. I feel like they just had radios and they were like, they just sold radios and they were probably pretty fucking great at selling radios. And they were the go-to place for radios. And then radios kind of started to phase out and they're like, fuck, I guess we'll get some like universal remotes and
RC cars
and some RC cars.
And we can try to still push the radios, but
yeah, we'll just keep the radios. We'll get some walkie talkies in here
and we'll get some giant headphones that have, FM transistors in them that you can maybe wear around the house or while you're cutting grass.
Oh, just die, Radio Shack. Jesus.
Yeah, I thought that you might be into that.
So. That's funny.
And then also, coming from the second segment, we mentioned Krampus. And this was really funny because this was maybe a week ago. I was walking through Walmart.
Yeah.
And I just found myself trapped in this aisle that is basically the dumbest fucking movies that you didn't even know existed.
Mm-hmm.
There's like some kind of a fake Walmart studio out there. It seems like that's just producing these shit movie titles.
Yeah, yeah.
But I wound up, they're all just slapping me in the face too. And I actually kind of coined the name. I had two names for this aisle. One is for a genre that I've referred to as derpsploitation.
Yeah, yeah,
because I felt like Tardcore might be a little too like angry and hateful.
It's pretty strong. It is pretty strong.
But they seem like Tardcore movies to me. But Derpsploitation, I felt like, was one I could post on Twitter. So,
oh, I love that Tardcore and Derpsploitation. Yeah, yeah.
But these movies that I'm seeing here, Ty, and I posted a picture of the movies. We have Brothers of War. We have Lavalantula.
Lavalantula.
Which I guess from the cover is a giant tarantula that spits lava at you.
Jesus.
And then there's Sinkhole.
Sinkhole, the movie.
Yes. There's a movie that kind of looks like a scary movie. Like it's got like some kind of shadowy figure on it, but it's called Two Bedroom, One Bath.
What?
Yeah. And of course, Stung, the ultimate buzzkill.
Stung. Oh, wait, I've kind of heard of Stung, actually.
Yeah,
but yeah.
They're all kind of, and I don't know if the one that you're referring to is like the tagline, the ultimate buzzkill, or if this is like the fake Walmart version, because they also had a version of Krampus that looks like the one that you're interested in, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's like a cheaper knockoff of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I posted that on Twitter, and then right away I was getting notifications from this, I guess that's a horror podcast. They're at the Horror Aisle. That's what they're called.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were posting back and forth. He liked my picture and thought it was funny, you know, and we got on the subject of Krampus, and he started saying some shit about the Krampus, like, you know, it's getting kind of hard to tell them apart. You know, this looks like the Krampus, but not the one we're all excited about, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then we kind of had a laugh back and forth. And 2 minutes later, he posts me a screenshot of Krampus added him to what they call the naughty list. And he's like, uh-oh, shit, Krampus movie added me to the naughty list. And I guess that's where they stick people that they don't like. I can only imagine.
What? Yeah. Krampus, like the shitty, crappy movie?
No, like the Krampus.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at Krampus movie added him to the naughty list. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm sorry for inadvertently getting you put on the naughty list. I'm not sure what that is, but it's usually never great.
That's pretty funny. Really? I mean, I would feel pretty honored, I guess, really.
I guess, yeah.
Hmm.
So, apparently, Krampus is, they're out there, man, like, they're fucking making a list, checking it twice.
They're in the Twitter sphere watching out for who's ever being naughty or nice, buddy. That's pretty funny. I don't know. That's one of my most hated things, though, about like the shitty low budget film like industry is if there's a movie in theaters, they have to release a version of it they have to do their own version of it. That's like the shitty low quality one. That does make you go, oh, wait. Like every time you're looking on Netflix, you're like, oh, the shit, that's out on Netflix already? And you're like, oh, no. It's like the awful low budget version of it.
I feel like they are in the business of making DVD movie covers.
Yeah, really, huh?
Like, they don't give a shit about what's on the movie. All they want to do is put out a cover and try to fool you into watching it and buying it.
Yeah, yeah.
And like we were mentioning before, like whenever, even though Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter was like a pretty terrible movie, it was like there for a while before it came out. It was like kind of hot. And yeah. I remember Walmart had like Abraham Lincoln versus the vampires.
Yeah.
And they just tried to sell it to you like as that. And grandmas would go in and buy that one for you for Christmas or something, thinking that it was the right one. And
yeah, I'm pretty sure I got one of those once. I can't remember what it was.
It's Highwood Hopper, man.
Those ones that was like not. It was like the bullshit one. Yeah, yeah. They I know like two or three came out this year because of Jurassic World. And it was just like awful, terrible looking, shitty ones that were like Cretaceous teeth or whatever, some bullshit like that. It's annoying. It makes me. It's like insulting. You're just like, what do you think I'm gonna like see that and be like, whoa.
It is insulting, man.
It's insulting.
And that is what is the very essence of the tardcore genre.
Yeah.
Like. Mm-hmm. 10.0 Earthquake, the movie.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you ever get the chance to walk through your local Walmart. I think this is the most entertainment that you can get from these movies, is just walking through this aisle and being slapped in the face with all the ridiculous titles.
Yeah. Although I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of tart in me or something, man, because I hear Lavalantula, and I'm kind of interested.
Yeah.
Just to see what this shit is.
Well, yeah, you definitely want to check it out until you get like an hour into it, and you feel like, oh my god, what am I doing?
Yeah, but it's that thing we've talked about too before, where they're just cheating, like making deliberately cheesy and corny movies, whereas the real gems of like corny horror movies are the ones who were trying so hard to be serious and just ended up being totally corny and ridiculous.
Like Basket Case.
Yeah. Like Basket Case. Yep.
That is a good point.
Yeah. Like they were really trying to make the best movie possible. And that's when like there's sincerity in it. That's when it's gold for me.
That is a really good rule of thumb for any aspiring directors out there.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to be something that you're not, you know, because then you'll end up directing the next Sinkhole, you know, or something like that.
Yeah, for sure. And then you'll be known as that fucking dude who makes low budget shitty movies to rip off big budget, you know, hits.
Or derpsploitation, if you will.
Derpsploitation. Maybe not as a derpsploitation director, yeah.
Okay, so that is what's going on there. Man, this episode's been flying by. We're getting close to the end here, Ty, but before we go, I had this kind of little heartwarming story that I wanted to share with you, because I sure as hell got a chuckle out of it.
Yeah, that's right.
So this morning, this has been my day off, you know, and it started out pretty good. I slept in. I woke up at like 11:30, and then I turned on like I'm at home by myself, so I can just watch shit that everyone else hates but me. So like I was watching some Canadian wrestling from the 70s, like like some old Stampede wrestling, yeah. And just enjoying myself. And then I took like a long shower and stuff. And whenever I got out of the shower and I was getting dressed, I noticed that my dog Walter had jumped off of the bed and like went underneath the bed. And I got to paint this picture for you, because on the side of the bed, there's usually like a bunch of pillows that just get thrown off because we have way too many pillows on the bed. So there ends up being this huge maze of pillows and just like super cushiony, comfortable things.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you can squeeze past that, we have like a little bed skirt, and he's walking underneath the bed skirt like it's a little door. And then he just disappears, and I'm like, what's going on? So I look under there, and we have like shit packed underneath the bed, but it's packed in a way that like it's really like a zone of just comfortableness for him.
Mm-hmm.
Like there are he has this little spot carved out in between a couch pillow that we don't need that we shoved under the bed.
Yeah.
And like a bunch of fuzzy boots. And like a what is it, like one of those suction bags full of summer clothes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And this is like his little tuckered out corner.
He's got like a little niche.
Yes.
And that for himself.
Yes. And it's very quaint, you know. And I was like, okay, this is pretty cool. So after he walks out, I'm able to kind of get my head in there a little bit, and he has like a bunch of prized possessions that you would picture a dog having in his like room.
Yeah.
Like he has he had like two different fun size candy bar wrappers from Halloween that I can only imagine that he keeps those for hard like times whenever he's hard up for a treat, and he just smells like a Twix smells like.
It's like, let me just smell. I think there's probably a little bit more taste in here if I just look at.
Yeah. So he keeps the wrappers like hidden where we can't find them.
That's so funny.
And he has part of a rawhide that he I guess hides from Shecky, because Shecky doesn't ever go into this little Walter zone. And he has a little crumpled up part of a lint roller,
mm-hmm,
that's been used that I guess fell out of the trash can. And I can only imagine that he has just hours of fun like getting this thing stuck to his face and then pulling it, mm-hmm, off. And but by far my favorite possession that he has under there, like months ago, we got them both new squeak toys at, mm-hmm, at Petco, and we came home and we gave it to him, and I don't even know like where he gets this. He must like, we must set something down and then he automatically jumps on it and then runs it into the bedroom so nobody else can find it.
Mm-hmm.
But he had one of the little cardboard flaps that is connected to like a squeak toy that is the label for it.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
And it's sort of chewed up on the corner, but there's still the big picture of the dog like enjoying himself with the toy. And he keeps this in his room as if it's some kind of like celebrity dog, maybe like a poster or just something that he can look at to make him feel good about being a dog. I don't know.
That's he just looks at it to remind himself of good times. Like, that was me once, and maybe it'll be me again. That's awesome.
And it's sort of chewed up in the corner, but not the part with the dog. Like, he wanted to save that, like, preserve that part of it.
Oh, that's so good. It's like his little clubhouse.
It's like a little clubhouse, man.
Walter's only allowed. Yeah, for sure.
So I got a super awesome kick out of this.
That's great. Did you leave everything there?
I did. I couldn't even throw away like the candy wrappers.
Do you feel like you were like invading his privacy? Like, oh, I'm sorry, dude.
I kind of did. I for the first time in my life, I feel like sort of a, like if a parent is raising a teenage boy and then like you find like a Playboy under their bed or something, mm-hmm, you just want to like leave it how it is. You don't want them to know that you found it because they might get embarrassed. I don't want him to know that I found like the peanut butter cup wrapper under the bed and then call him out on it and make him feel all weird.
Oh.
You know? So. But that's
great, man.
Yeah, that's what's going on. That's, he's got a little dog room in there, and I don't know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. Dogs are fucking great, man. Dogs have like so much personality, and yeah.
They do. And Walter's kind of he's a little bit of a heavier dog. I mean, you know, from, mm-hmm, from hanging out with them whenever you came over, but he has such a sweet tooth, man. And recently I made the mistake of breaking off a tiny piece of a one of those little powdered donuts.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's like, he's got a bad addiction problem with them. Like, he like tweaks every time I get him out, and he gets like, he was like looking at me with the powder all over his face and nose. He's just like tweaking out, like looking at me, like, give me more powdered sugar, man. What's up?
You let him have a taste, dude.
I let him have a taste of it. Now I feel like I'm some kind of a evil pusher.
It's in his blood now, dude. My dad goes like that with, two things, Oreos. He got an Oreo once, and after that, he was never the same. Like, if Oreos were around, it was just, you had to hide them from him. And cinnamon. He had,
cinnamon?
Yeah, it's strange. He was, when he was a puppy, like, I was eating a cinnamon Pop-Tart, and I just kind of, like, absentmindedly broke off a piece because he was looking at it, kind of gave it to him. And ever since then, like, cinnamon Pop-Tarts come out, he's just, like, just fiending for it.
Shit. It's hard, man, too, at least for me, because I gotta imagine that there aren't, like, too many great pleasures of being a dog. It kind of just seems, like, kind of shitty.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. Like, they live, like, fucking 10 years. Fucking give them some table scraps.
I know, and that's something that I struggle with, too, because I want to, like, give them I want to, like, blow their hair back with a bite of burger or something, you know?
Yeah, man. I do, man, for, like, birthday and stuff. You're just like, fuck it. Here's, like, here's a little piece of some steak. Or here's some of that ribeye bone. Have fun, buddy.
And now, like, Walt, my dogs are getting older. And they're both little dogs, but... Walter's been having an issue. Like, we know that he has some fused vertebrae on his, and I think I've told you about this in a previous episode, like where he just kind of gets sore.
Oh yeah.
And now for the first time in my life, I'm actually contemplating buying like some little dog stairs for the bed. And I used to think those were so retarded, but now whenever I go to call him to go outside, if he's on the bed, he won't come. And it's like, he's scared to jump off of it.
Oh, poor dude. Yeah. So, buy him some stairs,
I'll get him some stairs, and then maybe I can put in, like, a little surround sound under the bed for him. Like, maybe I can just get the whole place fixed up for him, too.
That'd be nice. Just give him a little treat. A little surprise party at his little clubhouse. You should, every once in a while, just put, like, a little treat down there and just hide it down there. So he gets a little special surprise when he goes down.
Oh, dude, that's kind of an interesting idea. I never thought about, like, actually, you know, putting little surprises in there for him.
That'd be cool, yeah.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I may have to go do that. Well, if anybody out there is listening and you guys have any fun stories, send it to Complete Sentences, man. We always love a good dog story.
Yeah, for sure.
We have a Twitter page, @TyandRockyK.
That's right. Facebook.com/Complete Sentences Podcast.
That's it. And then also, of course, CompleteSentencesPodcast.com.
Yeah.
Well, we just... Hey, yeah, what's up?
How much time do we have?
Well, I could probably get Rodrigo to push the big clock back a little bit if you got something else.
I wanted to get into this dude. Have you heard of Ken M?
Ken M? No, I have not.
Okay, so Ken M is... He's this internet troll, and what he does is he, like, trolls, but mostly, like, news websites, their comment sections, so at the bottom of articles, and he just, like, he's a fucking master troll, and he's been doing it since 2011, and apparently he's this 35-year-old dude, copywriter for Comedy Central, and just since 2011, he's just been, like, and he's... amazing troll. The way he does it is absolutely perfect, so that, like, it's hard for people to tell that he's even trolling. Like, there's a Reddit subreddit just dedicated to him, so if you just search, like, Ken M, you will find it. It'll be, like, the first page. So I have some of his best ones, but he's fucking great. Like, and on Facebook, his profile picture is, like, an old man, so you're, like, this old dude who just doesn't know shit about anything. But this one right here, The name of the article is called "The Right Kind of Rain Could Cure U.S. Drought." So it's just about, like, they need rain for drought. Drought's happening.
Sure.
And Ken M is the first comment, and he says, "Less water means kids will drink more. Kids will drink juice." And then a person below him goes, "No apple juice for you if those apple trees that grow those apples don't get any water." And Ken M replies, "No, because nowadays you can drink artificial apple juice." And then below him, another dude goes, "Well, they still need water, as most of our artificial juice is 80% water." And Ken M's reply is, "Well, you can replace the water with extra juice and get even more vitamins." He's so fucking good. Let's see, another one. It's an article called "Doing These 9 Uncomfortable Things Will Pay Off Forever." So it's about just, like, doing an extra things to like, make life a little better for you. And Ken M's, his comment is, "Decent article, but as a certified life coach, I would add a 10th item to this list." And then the next that's all he says. And the person goes, "Which is?" He goes, "Which is?" And Ken M's response is, "A life coach is a person who helps others achieve their personal and professional goals." And the person replies, "Is that the 10th item?" And Ken M goes, "No, but I would certainly suggest including another item." And then another person replies, "Is number 10 to be obtuse and to cause aggravation for people? Because if so, I think you're probably doing a good job of that." And Ken M's final response is, "I'm only certified to diagnose item deficiency." And I'll just do one more. Or there's a couple. There's another one where, fuck it, I'll do it. There's two more.
Let's do it.
So Jimmy Dean Sausage on Facebook, he writes on their wall, on Jimmy Dean Sausage's wall. He says, "I was supposed to get a free sample of your sausage product, but they ran out." And his profile picture here is an old dude, so they're going to think he's an old guy. And Jimmy Dean Sausage writes back and says, "Hi, Ken. Thanks for getting in touch. Can you please send us a direct message with your contact information so we can help?" And Ken M goes, "Thank you. Please send the sausage to 3250 Beulah Road, Pensacola, Florida."
Please send sausage.
And then under that, Jimmy Dean goes, "Hi, Ken. Can you send us a direct message? Again, please." Ken M says, he puts in brackets, "Please put this as a direct message," like as if he's telling Facebook to do it. Says, "Please put this as a direct message. Well, they were handing out pieces of your sausage at Walmart, but they ran out, and I was next in line, and some folks took more than one piece." And Jimmy Dean Sausage comes back and says, "Hi, Ken, can you send through your phone number, please? Thanks so much." Ken M says, "Thank you, I sent my number, but I have not received a call." And Jimmy Dean goes, "Hi, Ken, you only provided us with your address. Can you share your number as well? Thanks so much." And Ken M goes, "Thank you. Our phone number is a landline, so we had to send it to your headquarters in the regular old mail." And Jimmy Dean goes, "Hi, Ken. We have a package waiting for you at FedEx in Pensacola. They need your phone number. Are you able to post a private message so you can receive it, or you can share it on here? Thanks." And then under that, it says, "Thank you. I'll have my grandson drive me to FedEx this evening after church. Here's my social security number." And he writes out a number. And then under that is he posts a picture. He got his sausages, dude. He went to the FedEx and actually got like a package of sausages. Oh, just a whole stack of sausages. Well, and
dude, working in tech support, I can definitely like appreciate this because there are people that you do have to like hold their hand and like, direct message us right underneath our display picture and don't send any personal information to our wall on Facebook. And
yeah,
man, that's funny. What else you got?
Here's my last one. This is my personal favorite. Okay. This is on Facebook also with Chef Boyardee. Ken M posts a picture and it's a picture of ravioli in a pan on a stove, and right next to it on the stove are a stack of National Geographic newspapers, like on the actual burner part of the stove. And he writes, "Good product. We always put pepper on it in our household." And Chef Boyardee goes, "It looks delicious, Ken. We'd suggest moving those magazines, though. You don't want to have a fire on your hands there. Thanks for your post." Ken M replies with a picture of Chef Boyardee in an oven, in an oven on a pan, surrounded by National Geographic books in the oven.
I'm looking at the picture.
And he says, also, if you pop it in the oven, it tastes just like Mom used to heat up.
That moment whenever you're responding to people and then you realize that you're getting trolled and you're wasting energy is so terrible.
It's my absolute favorite.
You know what is weird to me is whenever you are explaining these to me, I feel like it's like having a conversation with Kenny sometimes, because I feel like he's trolling me. And then I'm like, dude, is Kenny Miller Ken M? I'm like, what? And he's got a picture of an old guy just to really put the icing on the cake.
Just to really fuck with you. Yeah. That would be funny.
I'm looking at some of these. Like, there's the yoga Facebook page with the really hot chick stretching. And then he just comments, grandson does yoga.
He's so good. And the trolling is like perfect too, to where they would just like walk away from it being like, fuck, that guy is fucking stupid. Yeah, it's good. So check out Ken M. There's a subreddit and the dude posts so much every day. There's like new shit going on and all of them are hilarious.
What an age we live in, Ty. I'm so happy that this guy's probably making money just trolling people.
Yeah, really, right?
I'm sure he's finding some way to get some type of payment just making this his job.
Yeah, well, actually not. He apparently he started getting paid by like BuzzFeed or one of those sites to do it like professionally and to do like a weekly thing or something doing it. But apparently it started getting like stale to him where he was having to like force it and he wasn't enjoying it anymore or something. So he stopped doing it. So now he's just doing it for fun. He works for Comedy Central apparently, but
is it possible that he's kind of maybe turning out to be a huge like trolling BuzzFeed with saying, well, you know, I'm kind of like not really in the mood to do trolling anymore.
It could be, yeah.
And like now BuzzFeed's getting trolled. Like, well, we're trying to send your paycheck to your address, but we're not able to get it to you. Well, I'm kind of over it, to be quite honest. You got to be careful with this type of person, Ty.
You really do, yeah.
You'll get trolled and you don't even know it.
I love it, man. Yeah.
That is so funny, dude.
Yeah.
That fucking picture with all the National Geographic shoved in the oven is the best.
There's literally, he's wasting like corporate time with some dude who's like getting paid to do this to the Facebook shit. He's like, fuck you, dude.
And Chef Boyardee just playing into his hand. What are the odds of that happening? Like,
perfect.
They're trying to be like witty while still getting their message across. You know, like, hey, I'm glad you like it. You may want to move those magazines so you don't start a fire.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome, Ty.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the greatest irony of all of this was he has forced our episode into, like, overtime with his trolls. Like, he's been kind of trolling us, if you will. Like, it's a secondhand troll.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Like, we've been sitting here for, like, an additional 15 minutes going over just his trolls, you know? It's kind of fun. It's like he got us, too, secondhand.
He really did. We wasted a lot of time just talking about him.
That's the beauty of trolls, man.
He's the best troll I've ever seen, for sure.
Well, I'm going to have to stay in touch with that whenever I want a good giggle. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good, man.
Yeah, they're really funny.
All right, closing. Do we have anything left, man? We fucking tore this episode apart.
Yeah, we really did, man. No, I got nothing. I don't think.
I really don't either. Next episode, we're going to try to do sort of a Christmassy thing if we can get a hold of Kenny.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
I still wanted to go over this this Berenstain thing with you, but that's a whole nother topic. I feel like we could run through maybe a whole segment with that, so we'll save that for another time.
Yeah, that's true, man. I did forget about that. Yeah, we do need to get into that.
But for any listeners, just know that by the time we get to it, it might be sort of old news, but it still seems like it's going to be a fun topic.
Yeah, it'll be good.
So, yeah, just check us out on social media, and yeah, that's what we got, man. We'll see you before Christmas.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Have a good beginning of your December, and hopefully we're coming at you with a festive episode.
My second favorite time of the year.
Yeah, number two for sure.
All right, guys. Well, take it easy, and we will catch you next time on CSP.
You have just listened to Complete Sentences with Ty and Rocky K. Please feel free to email us at completesentencespod@gmail.com.